The Institute on Religious Life brings you the following in a series of lectures on vocation formation, given by one of today's leading theologians, Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology at St. John's University in New York. In the following lecture, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the need for sound doctrinal foundation. Father Hardin.
Assuming, may be assured, more or less, that a person has a true religious vocation, the first responsibility is to help that individual establish their vocation on a sound doctrinal basis. So we ask these questions. What does this mean? Second, why is it so important? And third, how should it be done? First, what is it? In general, doctrine is the church's teaching of God's revealed truth. Those who respond to this truth are believers. We call them the faithful. They believe not because they understand, but because, trusting God, they accept what He revealed through the church. Therefore, to establish a religious vocation on a sound doctrinal foundation means to give the often vague spiritual impulses that a person with a vocation has, and they can be very blurred, honest, even the smartest of them, to give these impulses a basis, a reason, an explanation, a ground, and I like that expression, to stand on. In a word, to give them a foundation in their minds that should last them for life. If a religious vocation is essentially a vocation to great love, and it is, it must have a correspondingly deep foundation in the truth. Otherwise, the love will be dissipated or wasted, and but began with such eagerness can end in frustration and despair. I suppose only a priest can fully realize how many discouraged religious there are, and that apart from what's going on in the church today, there are many who are called upon by their vocation to do difficult things, sometimes even heroic things. But they ask themselves, why? They better know. And the word is know. A religious, therefore, should not only love, or have the desire to give oneself, but should also know whom to love, why, that's in the mind, and how. a vocation not established on a sound doctrinal basis is built on sand. And there has never been greater need for reinforced concrete in truth as the foundation for the kind of love demanded of a religious today. Do you agree? When just about everything sacred in our lives is being questioned. Sister just gave me during our break. This is regarding our mutual friend, Sister Teresa Kane. I'm not even sure where this is from. Sister Frances Cunningham, Executive Director of the Chicago School Sisters of St. Francis and Secretary of the LCWR, said, "There was really no other opportunity for this message to be given to the Pope. I felt that she did a very fine, respectful, and sincere job. She did reflect a view of many American Catholic women and asked the Pope to study and question woman's role in the church, particularly with reference to the cultural context of the United States." And as I told the sisters this morning, last week, one of the ordinaries of the diocese, of a diocese in New Jersey, publicly announced it was granting a scholarship to a woman, a graduate from Duke University, to begin studying for the priesthood. Columns in the secular papers either the religious vocation is built on sound doctrine that a person knows who John Paul II is or forget it. Either you know he's the vicar of Christ and you believe it, or you spout such nonsense as this. So much for part one. Why important? The reason this is so important is that our affections tend to ignore our judgment. Our heart tends to go out to things about which our minds are not always sure. And that is an understatement. We have all sorts of impulses, including pious ones. We therefore need to examine our impulses, including holy impulses, to see, and I've underlined the verb to see, that what we're being urged to do, or prone to do, or would like to do, deserves our self-surrender. Indeed, the more total the sacrifice expected, the more certain we need to be that what we are giving ourselves to is not a dream or a whim, or worse, a mistaken or even wrong cause. The world does not suffer from lack of generosity. Did you know that? It does not suffer from lack of people giving themselves to causes. Otherwise, the incredible tragedy of a Jonesville wouldn't make sense. Or the now several hundred thousand of Moonies wouldn't make sense. If anything, the young especially, are hungry, ravenously hungry, to give themselves. But they'd better give themselves to the truth. There are too many generous people who are misled. Too many of the youth giving themselves to cults and sects and movements that are wrong. Not to be a warning and not to tell us that those whom we have presumably assured have a vocation now settle down to the very prosaic and in many ways humdrum duty which goes on for years and in one sense lasts a lifetime of knowing, so what am I giving myself to? And why? And how? Third reflection. How is this to be done? Much of our course for the two semesters will be right here. So I will only point out a few prominent features of method or how. Among many others, I would single out these five. We're talking about what? We are speaking about laying solid doctrinal foundations for the religious life. And we're asking, how is it to be done? Well, the features which this doctrinal training or education should take ought to have, among others, which I admit could be added, at least these five. First, orthodoxy. Secondly, clearness. Third, practicality. Fourth, development. And fifth, structure. First then, orthodoxy. Be sure that the doctrine that you teach or have taught to others is sound. In other words, it is to be Catholic doctrine. Religious should know the Church's teaching. They should also develop a certain, almost instinctive ability to distinguish between sound doctrine and unsound. And I would suggest that the test of orthodoxy today is loyalty to the Vicar of Christ and the Holy See. And not just the Vicar of Christ, because he conducts most of the work for the Church through the organs of the Holy See, including, and how important this is for religious, through the Congregation for Religious. Today is what? Saturday. It must have been Thursday. But a Mother General who visited here, Mother Mary Joseph of the IHMs in Nigeria, came to the United States to look around. She is president of the Nigerian Religious Women of the Major Superiors. We spent about 3 hours in conversation in New York. And one reason that she came, the main reason, in fact, was to find out what's going on and to know how she can protect her own community and help protect other communities by what's happened in America. And that is why she was recommended by the Holy See to come here. Good to hear, isn't it? She says this year her community, which is not large, did she tell you how large the community is?
360,000 per bed.
How many postulants?
100.
100 postulants. A very shrewd woman. Before she came, I had just about a day's announcement that she was coming, but I did a little homework to find out what I could about Nigeria. I was informed Nigeria is the best educated country in Africa. It has a large, well-trained Catholic population. As you know, it went through a revolution, as so many African countries experienced. And the Nigerians have the constant challenge of the Muslims to test their faith. In any case, this was her main concern, and I share this with you as I will with the others later on today. The African communities, the Holy See wants sound American communities to come to better know, cooperate with, and in any way they can to promote in sisterly love, soundness of religious life in that vast continent. How many Catholics are in Africa? They now have more Catholics than we have in the United States. 54 million. Most of them since the turn of the century. Great promise. They need encouragement. And though she heard all about the LCWR, do you know the LCWR has penetrated Africa? Now, the Holy See recommended that she contact the Institute. Isn't this good to hear? Now, they will put her in contact with such communities. She's leaving for Africa on the 31st, as will help sustain religious life. I don't know how many times she used the word truth, Father. That's what our sisters need, to know and be nourished on the truth. So orthodoxy. And the test of that orthodoxy, as we've just described, is loyalty to the Holy See. Why is there a special need nowadays, and I dare say for years to come, for doctrinal formation in the faith? I have five reasons. The danger in giving the number at the beginning is because they hold you accountable to satisfy all the numbers. Thank you, sister. First, otherwise than even a generation ago, with the rarest exception, those who enter religious life today are products of a secularized society. A society, by the way, well, those of us that have been even, say, 15 years in the community, we hear about, we read about, but we haven't had to live. First reason. Second, the decreasingly adequate Catholic education. the current issue of the U.S. News and World Report, the feature article, and a picture of two youngsters in a classroom. Great big headline: Give Us Better Schools. Save the kids, their parents, and teachers. The cry everywhere is for better education. And in the Catholic Church, it is a cry that calls to heaven. Where today, will you tell me, can the young people still get the kind of sound, thoroughly grounded Catholic education? In 1 year, as we all know, the Archdiocese of Chicago closed 26 of its Catholic schools. One community, I will name it, the IHMs of Monroe, Michigan, in 1 year they closed 30 of their schools. The official figures of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops is 6 million children from 6 to 16 are getting not inadequate, are getting no religious instruction at all. 6 million. One of my graduates from St. John's University in New York, who is now in charge of religious education at a large parish in New Jersey. She administered to a high school class of CCD students a kind of preliminary quiz when they began their classes. And among other questions, she asked them to name the seven sacraments. Several, not one, several mentioned divorce as one of the seven sacraments. You can't blame the children, can you? The national average for divorce is over 50%. The major cities is 100%. The major cities of America, one divorce to every marriage last year. So poor Catholic education. Factors often beyond the control of the school system. We're just stating the facts. Third, the pressures. Now notice, it's not for just those who are entering. These are the pressures on all those who are already religious. The pressures to conform to the values of the world. There was no community so cloistered as to be hermetically sealed from the intrusion of the world. These values, as Christ in his sermon at the Last Supper, in what I consider the most terrifying statement in the New Testament, I pray not for the world, ego oro, non pro mundo. The world, as the evil spirit promised Christ, remember, in the temptation at the beginning of Christ's public life, the world in large measure is in the control of the evil spirit. That's a good definition of the world. There are six other definitions, but that's a good one.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.